I would now like to welcome our three panel speakers, Michael, Steph, and Janie, to the group to share their experience, strength, and hope on the topic of what is it like to be a newcomer. Our first speaker is Michael. Welcome to the group, Michael.
There we go. Thank you, Sue. Hi, everybody. I'm Michael, and I'm a compulsive overeater and thrilled to be with you here today. Thank you for having me in to talk about this really important topic of what it's like to be a newcomer, because I have to say, I still feel like I'm a newcomer every single day in this program. And I think that's actually a good thing because it convinces me and reminds me that I don't know anything and that I have to be constantly learning, which I think is the key to success in this program. I came into OA a little over 2 years ago in August of 2020, in the middle of the pandemic. Up until that time, I had been a roller coaster eater starting in adolescence and then a restrictor and then an overeater and then a restrictor and a sort of on the roller coaster for decades. I had come into an OA meeting that a friend took me to in 2016 and sat there at an in-person meeting and thought, these people are nuts. And the thought of giving up sugar to me was just incomprehensible. And so I believe, actually, if I recall correctly, that I left that meeting and went on a binge because that's the sort of self-will that I was trapped in and which kept me in my disease for many, many, many years. By 2020, I'd had it. I had literally no clothes that fit. And I was so distressed that one night I vividly recall being on my bedroom floor in my apartment and talking to my dad, who died in 2013, and sort of praying out to him and saying, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be where you are. Can you get me to where you are? I wasn't going to self-harm myself, but I certainly didn't want to be alive anymore. And I certainly didn't want anybody living the life I was living anymore. I heard a voice say to me, go to bed. So I did. And the next day I got up and I logged on to my very first virtual OA meeting out of Philadelphia, which is where I was living at the time. And the funny thing about being a newcomer, not that there's really anything funny, is that you're sort of, you know, you have all these people who are there for you. That's the gift of service, right? People come, they get food sober, they get some recovery, and then you have to give it away. And I think the giving away part is very, very crucial to a successful program. It has been for me. Service and that sort of paying it forward thing is really, really a tentpole for me of my program. And there was, the chat was open during that meeting back then, and I identified as a newcomer, and several people sent me messages of welcome, which was, you know, lovely. And there was one woman who you could tell was an old timer. She had like 30 some years of recovery. And she messaged me in the chat and said, we're so glad you're here. And I texted her back in the chat and said, I feel like I'm at the bottom of a well and I'm never getting out. And she wrote me back something I never forgot. And she said, don't worry, we'll throw you down a rope. And they did. Every single person in that meeting did. And every single person in every one of these squares that I've been to since has thrown me a rope every single day. And it is my job to keep throwing the rope down to other people, to get as many of us out of the well as possible. Some days I wasn't very successful at staying out of the well. I fell back in. I never relapsed so far in my 2.5 years, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But I think it's because as a newcomer, I recognize that this was truly the last house on the block. That's a phrase you hear a lot, and I heard a lot in the beginning, and I didn't really understand it at first, and now I do. Because I had tried everything, like many of you. I had dieted my way into madness over and over and over again, convinced that this time was the last time, that this time would be different, that this diet or this way of living or this restriction would somehow get me into a better place, without ever recognizing or even considering, frankly, that a spiritual solution was the only path out of the well. I think as a newcomer, that was a really tough thing for me to grasp. My step 1 through 3 took me much longer than I think it takes the average person, because my spiritual life was a mess and had not really been part of my daily existence for years. And so rebuilding that connective tissue to something bigger than myself was really, really critical. As a newcomer, I think the two things that I really recognized and learned quickly were critical to my success or potential success were staying connected every day. I got a sponsor right away, and I found a guy who was 30 years younger than me, but who had what I wanted. And he is still my sponsor today. He does not run a drill sergeant program. That was not for me. I think it's important that you find somebody who you vibe with and who will be the kind of support you need, because we all need different kinds of support. And I was lucky to find that. And the other thing was that the steps, which is they're not optional. This is not a program I found that you can window shop your way through. It will not work. You either have to immerse yourself in it and commit to it, or don't bother doing it. At least that was how it was for me. As a newcomer, that gift of desperation was critical in those first few months and in that first year. I was worried about relapse. I was worried that this wouldn't work, because if this didn't work, I didn't have anything else to go to. It was literally the last house on the block. And I think as the newcomer, what I really, really acknowledged for the first time was that my isolation for years had led directly to my disease. This is a disease where being alone with the windows drawn and your food all around you is the ultimate feeding ground, literally. And community and connection are the antithesis of that. And that was really, really, really a foundation for me as a newcomer to find that I had people like me, people I could say anything to, that people, there was no story embarrassing enough that somebody was going to judge me. They had all done worse or the same. And that sort of freedom from shame was exhilarating. And it still is. The fact that I can call any of you and tell you the story about the time I hid a box of donuts in my bedroom door, it's embarrassing to the average person, to the normies. But we get it. We get it all. Because we've all been there. We've all been there at the bottom of the well. I think part of me now in my program, 2.5 years in, is really focused on making sure that I'm turning around enough to the newcomers who are coming in after me. I don't have it all figured out. And there are some days that are not good. And there are some days that are okay. But I will tell you that the number of days that are really good far outnumber those now. And that's because of the work, because of this community, because of this program, because of all of it. And I am so, so extremely grateful for that. And now I feel like my obligation is to remind myself daily of what it was like to be a newcomer, to feel that, because it's important to remind myself that I don't know it all. I don't have it all, but that I am working for it one day at a time, every single day, and to make sure that I have my rope in hand all the time to throw it down to the people who come after me. And with that, I'll leave it there. Thank you for letting me share, and God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Michael, for your share. And next up, we have Steph. So go ahead, Steph.
Hello, my name is Steph. I'm a recovering anorexic and a compulsive restrictor, and really grateful to be here today. I would like to say apologies in advance. There might be some background noise. It is now loud outdoors. I would like to start my share with a prayer, because I know for myself I need it. And I would like just to go for a third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Thank you so much. I start with a prayer because I would like my higher power to guide me through my share, to give me the words and to support me here. A higher power is something I haven't had prior to OA. A higher power, something I got to know in OA. And for today, I know that my higher power placed me in front of a church in 2017, 10th of July, 2017, for my first OA meeting. I was in contact, or I heard about OA in 2014 for the first time, but at this time I was not desperate enough. I told myself, delusional, it is not as bad. I can handle it. Yeah, I'm not as sick. Everybody has the same feelings about body image, about weight, fitting in, being right size for everybody else. I told myself all these things. I stuffed my feelings with restricting, with not eating, to have physical pain instead of the emotional pain inside of me. I did not know at this time that I was severely depressed. I knew in front of the church, and I realized through the work I did here, supported through my sponsors and step guides and all wise people I've got to know in OA, I was at a jumping off place. I had just two ways to go. One way was OA, and the other way was jumping off. This was my direction. In front of this church, I was incredibly anxious and nervous again about, am I right sized? Do I fit in? Or are they going to kick me out again? Because I'm not thin enough, I'm not sick enough. Yeah, all these negative thoughts I had. But I walked downstairs to the little basement. I was the first one in the room. It doesn't make it easier. But after all, there came a woman and another woman and a man and another woman. And so in the end, we've been six people on a round table. And I was still sweating, and I'm sweating right now. I was new, I was nervous, and I did not know what to do, what to say, where to go. And a woman to my left just took my hand and said, it's going to be okay. You're welcome, you're not alone. This woman is my sponsor still. And what I was looking for in my first OA meeting, and what I was looking for in OA, is peace of mind. Being okay with myself. Being okay in my body. I wanted to have a life worth living, a life out of misery, of second guessing myself every step I went, everywhere I go, every person I've contacted with. Yeah. I had hope that OA would be the place where I can find these things, the joy and the happiness, because we are not a glum lot, as it says in the big book. Yeah, there is joy here in the room. There is happiness. And I've seen all of this in my first sponsor, and she is still my sponsor, and I'm grateful for her. And I see it on a daily basis here in the rooms. I see the hope and the faith. I am grateful if fellows share about their struggles, because I hear my story as well. It might not be the same symptom, but it's the same disease. My disease wants to keep me miserable, blocks me from my higher power. From the concept of having a higher power, I heard before, but I never truly believed in. I'm not from a religious background. I always sensed that there was something beyond me. So accepting it here in OA for me was a blessing. It was a relief that I don't have to do it on my own, that there is somebody taking care of me when I can't not take care of myself. Yeah. I was guided through the steps multiple times. And I'm grateful that this teaching never ends. There is a saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I have teachers in my life and they teach me on a daily basis. Because what I realized, I just have not had only an eating disorder. I have a living disorder. My disorder goes beyond the food. I know for myself, I'm struggling with setting boundaries. I'm struggling with doing the next right thing sometimes. Yeah, not getting up in the morning, wanting to stay in bed. And what helps me then is prayer and a meditation. A text message to a fellow saying, just hi, just wanted to say hi to you to get me up and going. And what I found in this, here in OA, what was taught me was a path, my daily path in the 12 steps. 12 stepping every irritation I have, finding peace of mind on a daily basis. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder. This morning it was harder. I did not want to get up. I did not want to show up. I was tired. It was dark outdoors. But I heard my higher power saying, it's a new day. Get up, brush your teeth, do a prayer, do a meditation, just sit down and listen. Just listen. And I did. I listened. I had my breakfast, abstinent, weighed and measured, as I do. I went out for a walk. It was a beautiful day. We had a beautiful day. It was almost summer. I had outreach calls, daily readings with a fellow, spending time with me and listening to me and sharing her thoughts. It was a gift. I received a call this afternoon. Again, a gift, a blessing. If I have stayed in bed this morning, I don't think.
Gentle reminder, Steph, this is 8 minutes.
Thank you so much, Caro. Thank you so much. What I found in a way are teachers, sponsors, step guides, and wise women in my life. Wise women I can call when I'm miserable and distressed, who set my head back straight on my shoulders, give me a little kick in my bum sometimes, and really just guide me when I can't see what's in front of me. And what I found here in OA is a community, a family of choice, a family that knows more about me and know more about my struggles than my family of origin does, because I find this sense of belonging in here. I don't have to explain when I feel upset or sad or I don't want to eat. I don't have to explain. Yeah. There is understanding. What I found in OA is a design for living. For every irritation I have in my life, a design for living, to move on, to go forward. And it's a blessing. For me, it's a gift. I'm grateful for my higher power. I'm grateful for all those fellows here in this room, for my teachers, for my guides. I am blessed to be an addict, because without being an addict, I would not know. And I would like to end my share with a prayer that was read in my first OA meeting. And it has such a meaning for me. I would like to share it with you. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Steph, for your share. And our last speaker is Jamie. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hi there. I'm Janie. I'm a compulsive overeater. My goodness, how do I follow such wonderful shares? So I'm going to wing it. I did have some notes written, and I've just been so inspired with all that I've heard today. What have we had? We've had about 3.5 hours of a marathon so far. And what honesty and integrity and experience I've heard. So I came into OA originally when I was about 1990, and I was in for a couple of years, went to a little group that was not terribly healthy, and I got abstinent and I lost the weight, but I didn't actually get the emotional and the spiritual aspect going. So it was kind of white knuckling it, and anything would send me off beam. So I had an unfortunate experience when I shared my fourth step with my sponsor, and she told a whole lot of people. So I left for a number of years. Anyway, my history is compulsively overeating, bulimia for 25 years, and I've been free of that nearly 20 now, and that is such a blessing to me. But I came back into OA late 2010, and I just knew that I had to stop the insanity. I knew that there was a better way, and I was walking down the street one day, and there was a radio playing outside one of the stores, and this is how I feel a higher power can work, and it advertised that there was an OA meeting in the small town I'd moved to, and I thought, I think I need to go. So I went. And small group, good abstinence, good recovery. And I heard what I needed to hear. So I got a sponsor, started working the steps. Then my husband's job changed again, had to move cities again, same thing. So I left OA for a period of time, more food research. And boy, I can eat for Africa, I tell you. I was preventing any emotion from being felt. I just had to suppress it all, and sugar was my kryptonite. So after a period of time, I went back to OA, and I was in the biggest city in New Zealand at that stage. And I went to a meeting. I was the biggest person in the room, and I don't know whether others can relate to this, but as the biggest person, I just wanted to have an invisibility cloak. I did not want people to see this huge, morbidly obese body. I was so ashamed. I just felt dead inside, and I really wanted to die. I just thought, I can't live if I feel as despairing as I do, and if I'm so crazy around food. Anyway, I heard in those rooms what I needed to hear. I saw recovery in action. I saw and heard what people did to get well, to stay well, and to share the message. And so I got a sponsor, and I said, what do I need to do? And she told me, and I did it. And I, one day at a time was too much for me. I just had to do it one moment at a time. I'm a person that gets distracted really easily. So I just had to do things in tiny, tiny amounts. And that's what I did. And every week I would go back to the meeting. So these were face-to-face meetings, you know, back in the day, 2014. I'd never heard of online meetings at that stage. And so I was going to 5 meetings in that large city each week. So 5 evening meetings, an hour each way, generally driving, stuck in lovely traffic. But I was so desperate to have recovery and to keep recovery. So I did that. And then after a few years, I realized that I didn't know everything about food and that I needed to go to a nutritionist. I needed to hear from someone who understands nutrition, who studied it. So I went to a nutritionist and I asked for a food plan, and I was actually willing to follow it. I can't believe that. And I have followed it. And so I changed from being morbidly obese to being a regular size. So I lost about 70 to 75 kilos. And that's what people notice. You know, people in society or our friends, they notice the physical. And people would say, oh, what are you doing? And I was really open about OA. I didn't mind telling the world that I was in OA. And I'd gone to a new doctor because we were in this new city. And she looked through my notes and she said, so you've struggled with anxiety and depression most of your life, and you've obviously been morbidly obese. How did you change? You know, what did you do? And I told her about OA. She had never heard about it. She'd heard about Alcoholics Anonymous, but not Overeaters Anonymous. And I, next time I saw her, I brought in some brochures. I said, look, I'm happy for my first name and my phone number to be given out if you've got any patients or anyone that you know that would like to know more about OA. So moving forward, I wrote a few notes here. So I believe that when we're newcomers, anyone coming into the rooms, I needed acceptance. I needed people to accept me as I was, because I certainly didn't accept myself. And at that stage, when I first came in, I really needed it to be an anonymous program, because I have such shame about being a former bulimic and being a compulsive eater. But the stupid thing is, what I ate in private, and it was always in private, I wore in public on my huge body. I wasn't kidding anyone. And my sanity was, well, I was insane. And so along with the body change of size, people have noticed that I'm different, that I'm more peaceful, I'm easier to be around. And they ask about that now. And I say, well, it's because I'm actually working these steps and I'm using these tools and I'm giving service and I'm listening to the wisdom from other people that are working this program. And I need to keep coming to meetings. I need to keep giving service because that keeps me well. And when we think of all the literature that's been written within Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous, those people gave service to write that literature. They shared their experience, strength, and hope. And so I need to keep doing my bit, and I'm very grateful for all the OA literature as well, especially the daily readers. I have someone that I share. We phone each other, and we read the daily readings each day, and we share our thoughts on them. And it's a lovely way to start my day or end my day and connect with another fellow. And I know that I haven't spoken for 10 minutes, but I'm just going to leave it here because that allows more time for sharing for others. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for every single person who has either phoned in or is on Zoom today, because together we get better. And I'll pass there. Thank you.